We're going to open it up to questions from the audience. We have students that are going to be walking around with microphones just to get a chance for our fellow peers and family members, staff members, faculty members to ask questions if they have them. So,
when Title IX came in, the whole face of sports changed, and women are doing many of the most exciting things in sports in terms of even fan sports like tennis and soccer. Is there another place where a law could make this kind of difference, where you really see everything change with the implementation of the law? Thank you.
Yeah, I think so. That's an interesting question, because I think the sports revolution is bigger than we think, because it allows women to be strong. And one of the characteristics of poor cultures, in patriarchal cultures, the poor cultures, fat women are valued. In rich cultures, thin women are valued, but it's always weak women who are valued. So, in a patriarchy. So to become strong and for that to become admirable is really huge. I think another sweeping change would be if we could attribute an economic value to caregiving. Whether done by women or men. I mean, obviously, it's overwhelmingly done by women, but by men too. You should be able to attribute an economic value at replacement level, whether it's raising children or taking care of the elderly or the ill or whatever it is. You attribute an economic value to that at replacement level, and that becomes tax deductible if you pay taxes, and if you're too poor to pay taxes, tax refundable. It would replace the disaster of welfare and the whole philosophy of welfare. There's a book called If Women Counted, which is expressing exactly how to do. We could do this. It's not hard. We could do it in tax policy without even legislation. And that would allow us to economically plan in a more realistic way, because now at least a third of the work in the country is caregiving, and it's economically invisible. There's no way of knowing how much it is. It makes no sense. Really, we count as valuable that which men could do or have done. That's a job. But the rest, the caregiving work, which traditionally men, although more and more men are doing it, traditionally men haven't done it, is valueless. That would be one. But while we're talking, think of others. We all need to have that kind of futuristic. That's a great question. What one thing would really make a difference?
I was wondering if you could comment on something that I find entirely befuddling, which is the fact that Europeans have completely outdistanced ourselves in female representation in politics. And I was just wondering if you would address that subject.
I don't mean to oversimplify, but I think there are a couple of big reasons. One is that we are a multiracial and a racist society. And wherever there's racism, there's a need to control women more. So that's one reason. Another reason is that we are so big. European countries make social policy once nationally. We make it 50 times. And we do not control, that is, we, the majority of the country that wants this kind of change, we don't control most of the state legislatures. We have to pay as much attention to our state legislatures as we do to Washington. That's our fault, because they have the right wing, the ultra-right wing, the anti-equality groups have been able to redistrict themselves into perpetuity in state legislatures, because most of us don't even know who our state legislators are. We have to start paying attention.
Oh.
Okay, give them the mic. Say who you are so everybody knows.
I'm Representative Alice Miller, from Shaftesbury.
And I'm Representative Ann Manwaring from Wilmington. And I... That's Senator Brian Campion up there. Was one of the good guys before as a representative. I would just like to actually thank you. I have been a misreader since the first issue. I continue to be one today. I have every single issue since you stopped going, since you became ad-free. I'm just short of my 75th birthday, and I'm still waiting for somebody to call me a slut so I can thank you.
I am not only a state representative for 19 years in the state of Vermont and on the Education Committee, I graduated from Bennington College. And finally, I think your new president, Mariko Silver, is sensational. And now, having given you all that information, we expect to have our picture taken with you.
She said she would.
Thank you so much. And, you know, I think students especially all over the country have a big motive to pay attention to state legislatures, because that is why the major reason you are graduating in debt, in many cases, speaking nationally, because the state legislatures are taking money away from the state universities and so on, and using that money to build prisons we don't need and to increase the prison industrial complex and so on. I mean, it's so crucial. And I didn't realize who controlled state legislatures until the Equal Rights Amendment. You know, then we learned the hard way. And we still have not paid enough attention there. So thank you for making this state an exception. Thank you.
We have time for maybe two more questions.
I have a question. I just wanted to ask you about, go back to the Caitlyn Jenner recent coming out. I recognize that Bruce Jenner was a Republican. I do not know if Caitlyn Jenner is. But I was surprised and a little disappointed that she chose to come out in such a stereotypical pinup fashion-y way. I thought it said a lot about what certainly the magazine industry, among others, wanted to indicate about what a woman is. Mm-hmm. And I was just curious your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, she's been living with the Kardashians. What can I say? No, I confess that I was tempted to tweet, you know, well, you're going to have to become a Democrat because there's a Republican war against women. But I don't know. I don't want the onslaught. That's right.
I wanted to ask about a couple of things you brought up earlier. It seems, I'm over here, all of you people with your heads doing that. I'm the IT guy. But I was wondering, you were talking about how we were looking to the past at Native societies where there was a gender division of roles in society, but there was more autonomy and equality. And now we have this capitalist society where people can enter any role in society that they want to, allegedly. But at the same time, as you pointed out, there's an economic devaluation of the work that a lot of people do, especially when it comes to caregiving. So I'm wondering if, at the same time as this extremely integrated, if imperfectly integrated society seems only possible because of modern capitalism, and yet modern capitalism also seems to be one of the greatest barriers now towards creating real equality and to actually valuing the human side of what people do. So I'm curious if you think that capitalism has advanced the role of women in society, or if it is an obstacle.
It's an obstacle. We don't have capital. I mean, hello? You know, I always wondered why I was supposed to be a capitalist when I don't have capital. I mean, it's just absurd. No, of course. I mean, capitalism is just a more refined form of patriarchy. So it's part of the problem, not the solution. And the capitalism has really only worked in the world to the extent that it had socialist restrictions, so that it, you know, was able to limp along, you know. I just wish, you know, Marx and Engels also took the Iroquois Confederacy as their model. And it was what they called, you know, primitive communism and communal ownership and so on. And I just wish they had included the role of women more. They didn't quite get the reproduction part. They got the production part, but not the reproduction part. because that's where they started. And, you know, I think the various economic systems in various combinations that are built on racism and patriarchy and class and all this bullshit are just going to continue to profit off bullshit. I mean, you know, but we have to change the fundamental values and eliminate that kind of hierarchy.
So, to close, thank you so much for coming this weekend, for agreeing to sit down and talk in front of all these people on behalf of my class, of my school, of the class on you that I took, of my high school self that's crying right now. I just want to thank you so much for being here.
Well, wait. I just want to thank you. There could be no greater reward ever than to hear my words spoken by you, who are the future, right? How shall I say? Some people sometimes ask me, who am I going to give my torch to, right? And I always say, first, I'm keeping my torch, thank you very much. But also hoping that I can help light the torches of everybody else, because the whole idea that there's only one torch is just so wrong. I mean, no wonder we don't know where we're going. So don't thank me. It is the best possible thanks I could have to be here with you in this room and see and hear and feel what's possible in the future. Thank you.